There we go.
So. You're going to have to forgive me. I can't remember if Rant Radio was the station that was playing this rave music I was listening to, or was it the one with this talk going on?
We do both.
You do both?
Yep. In the off times, when there's no DJ online, we play whatever music, my current favorite, and it seems to be the favorite of a lot of the listeners, is techno, electronica, trance music, that kind of stuff.
What are like core artists?
Pardon me?
What are some of your like artists that you find keep popping up on your playlist?
Let me just look through here. Well, of course, Crystal Method, Fatboy Slim, Moby, Man with No Name, Lords of Acid. There you go.
Gotcha.
Here's a bunch of them.
I get the picture.
That kind of genre.
Right. So what? How long have you guys been doing Rant Radio?
Well, Rant Radio started very shortly after the software came out from Nullsoft, Shoutcast. I saw it a couple days after it came out. It came out on the 30th, and I started listening to it, I think, on the 1st, because I often check the Winamp page. And so I listened to a couple of stations, and I went, cool, this is an awesome idea. I've always wanted a radio station for myself. Especially ever since watching the movie Pump Up the Volume. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I have.
Of course. It was like total inspiration for me. And I've always wanted a radio station, but of course the costs were too high on the actual equipment.
So for the real network stuff, you couldn't do it.
That's right. For the real over-the-air kind of stuff, it was a lot of equipment, a lot of setup, and a lot of danger.
Well, you're talking about doing a real pirate radio.
A real pirate radio station. And there, as far as I know, there aren't any where I'm located in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's where I am, and a lot of my friends are the DJs on this station. But we do have DJs all over North America, and some that are going to be on from Europe and Australia as well.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, what you said, all over South Africa?
None from South Africa yet. there's one from Ireland that was contacting me, another one from Finland, another one from Australia.
So they take turns serving up the site? Is that how it works?
That's right. Basically, there's a server that is everyone tunes into, all the listeners tune into, and then just about anybody can DJ. I can DJ from my computer directly to the server, which is my computer, or anybody out there can connect to the server with a password. And
how do they get the password?
I set the password on the server itself, and when they want to be a DJ, I put trust into them and give them out the password, and then they set it up on their Winamp. Winamp is the actual software that you run through.
Okay.
And you plug in your microphone or play a CD or play an MP3. And it goes through that. And it connects to the server. And it works like that. So people can connect to the server and listen to whoever's broadcasting. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
And I've got a schedule of DJs that they just pick a time slot. And they start broadcasting at that time.
That's excellent.
And in the off times, when nobody's broadcasting, I just spin a loop of tunes.
So it seems to be a different approach than some people are just trying to do their own station, but you seem to have taken sort of a more collective approach.
Yeah, and I feel that's a real good way to get a lot of people involved in the station, and people feel a more personal approach to the station if you do get a lot of people involved. The station idea is about involvement with Rant Radio. People venting their opinions and their frustrations and just about anything they want to say. One of the new things that we're doing with the station is people are sending in their rants and we put them in rotation with the songs. And we're getting a lot of submissions that way. We also have a resident ranter. He's named Sean Kennedy. And I've put a lot of his rants in. He's got 14 so far, and they're about 3 minutes long, and they just go in between the songs and got great response. He's very opinionated and very straightforward about his opinions.
What are some of the things that people are talking about?
Anything under the sun. I'll give you some of the topics.
Yeah.
One guy sent in one about smoking. He's very upset. He lives in California, and well, same as you, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of very strict smoking laws passed there recently, and he was upset about it. You can't smoke anywhere. And I voiced my opinion after that, saying, "Yeah, it's not illegal. Why not?"
Right.
Based on the why would it? Anyway, yeah,
right.
Don't want to go off on a rant right now about it, but another one, some guy talking about slow drivers, and Sean takes a much harder line about things, and he talks about abortion and women and the workplace and injustices and stuff like that. And we do a lot of station IDs as well in-house. We try and make it sound as slick as possible. Like, we're not trying to be a commercial radio station or anything. We're far from that. But we want to keep a general atmosphere of professionalism about it.
What do you do normally? What do you do for a living?
I'm a system administrator for an internet provider here in British Columbia. So I've been into computers for quite a while, ever since Commodore 64.
Wow. Wow. So you said you guys were upgrading to a T3. You're getting free bandwidth, obviously.
Yeah. The way that works is some guy works at just his place of work. It's not an internet provider or anything. And they just have a really good, really big bandwidth. And this T3 that we're getting is in California as well. And I've got really good ping times to there. So it's a very fast server. And they just use it for work, and it's not fully utilized. And this guy works there, and he says, "You know, go ahead, we'll set it up." He wants to be a DJ as well, so it works on both sides. Right now, so as soon as we get the T3 going, we can have... Right now we're going to set it at probably 100 listeners, and it can go all the way up to 500 if he really wants to set it that high. So there's amazing potential there. And I was also talking with somebody from Harvard University, and he's one of the system administrators there, and they pretty much have unlimited bandwidth. So we can upgrade even further, because it's really taking off. Whenever there's an actual show on the station, it fills right up what we currently have. I don't know what the potential listeners is for the T3, because right now we're only at 15 listeners per stream.
How many streams are you sending?
Right now, we currently have 3 streams on cable modems. And all of my friends have cable modems here. It's pretty inexpensive to have. And we can support 15 listeners at the quality that we're broadcasting.
So 45 altogether.
45 right now altogether. But it's a little bit hard that way, because they have to see which server is full. If it's full, they have to go to another one. It's a bit of a pain. So we want to bring it all together into one big server, so anytime they can just click on it, they hear the station.
What about, you know, I mean, why couldn't you do this, you know, back in the days of real networks? I mean, well, not that they're gone, but I mean, why couldn't you guys have started a real network station?
Well, there's always been real audio. Through computers, you mean?
Yeah.
Still? It's never been this available. This software that they've just put out is absolutely free for use in a non-commercial environment. And our station is not going to do any commercial stuff, because then people can start dictating what we play and what we say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the record labels here in the U.S.,
yep.
They think that they can do that even if you're not broadcasting commercials.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm not...
a new law called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Really?
As a provision in that, you know, the labels were able to say that, you know, anybody that's webcasting can file for a compulsory license and get one.
Yep.
If they follow, you know, some rules as far as programming goes, like if you don't play one artist more than, you know, you can't play two songs by one artist and more than, you know, an album or whatever, something like that, or you can't have a playlist. There's 10 rules.
Really?
And they haven't set forth any fees yet. They're still trying to figure it out. But what do you think of that? I mean, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I would like to see them shut down 300 stations.
Yeah.
And it's 300 right now, and it's only been out a very short while, 3 weeks. And also, I see it as more as promotion for the artist. I mean, people are getting free listening to all these artists that are on all of these stations. I think it only helps the artist. I've discovered a lot of new bands that I like through MP3s and through these radio stations, because the DJs announce who they're playing, and obviously the DJs like them. So I see it as nothing more than a good promotion for the artists. The industry should try and embrace something rather than reject it and go with the technology rather than against it, and I think it'll work better for them because they're fighting a losing battle. Every kind of media that they have developed so far that is either recordable or digital, like analog tapes, they were always worried about that when that came out, and it never hurt the market. They're worried about people copying movies when video VCRs came out, and that never hurt the market. And now MP3s have come out, and I'm expecting the exact same thing. People will still buy the CDs for the artwork, to support the musician, and so on and so forth, just in the same vein as all the other technologies that have come out. And they're just wasting their time and money. Could be better spent and used in a better fashion. And some artists have gone against their record companies already and embraced the technology, such as Public Enemy and Billy Idol. I don't know if you're aware or have heard about that. Public Enemy. Public Enemy tried to release their brand new album because of their label was dragging their heels. And they put it up on their webpage, and pretty much everyone got their MP3s before they got shut down. And Billy Idol also released some of his new singles through MP3.com, and he got shut down as well. But I think it's nothing but good promotion. Huge downloads.
Okay, I guess I'm taking it you guys haven't been contacted by anybody like ASCAP or BMI saying,
Nope, nobody has contacted us yet, but I fully expect in the future, because our station is going very, very rapidly, and everyone who listens to it says, great station, and I think it's a great technology, and I think, it'll get big enough that they're going to start attacking it. A lot of things on the internet have gone under fire recently, even a lyrics server.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, www.lyrics.ch was...
They were making money, though, because they were selling ads on the site.
I don't even look at ads. I block them out. They're like a non-space to me when I look at a web page, so I didn't even notice the ads on that page. That I disagree with. People trying to make money off of things that they shouldn't be making money off of, that they never put money into. I didn't notice that they did have ads, but all their servers, they were busted and taken away, and I use that resource a lot.
What do you think, does this say anything, the growth of this, does it say anything about, does it say anything about popular culture or web culture or what's going on with traditional radio? What do you think? I mean, if you would just wax philosophical.
Well, I don't think traditional radio is going to die a quick death because, you can't readily access these stations in your car, or you can access them at work or at home, but people don't have the know-how or technology to get this, but it is definitely a huge revolution by just looking at how many people have started listening. I mean, a regular, there's 1,000 listeners all day long listening to these radio stations. And by the statistics on Winamp's webpage that they're downloading, I believe a million copies per release of Winamp, there's a massive, massive market out there for people listening to this. It's definitely a revolution, and it puts the power into the hands of the individuals of what they want heard and what they want played, rather than commercial radio stations being paid to play artists. It's, if I can inject a little bit of Canadiana into this.
Yeah, sure.
The stations up here, I don't know if you're aware, that they have to play, they used to have to play 30% Canadian content on their stations, and now they have to play 35% Canadian content. And you listen to the stations up here, and they do play about that much music, unfortunately. There is a lot of good Canadian artists, and if you listen to the college and university radio stations, they do play all the Canadian artists, because there are a lot of good ones. So I think that reflects in the majority of the market, too, that a lot of the small bands are not getting heard. And this is a definite medium so that the small bands can get heard on a widespread basis, rather than having to wait to their second album to get being played on a major radio station in a city. I've already been contacted by a number of bands to get me to play their songs, and I've redirected them to the proper DJs on my station that reflect their type of music. So I see this as a definite revolution for the small individuals, like the end users and the small bands. And I think that's actually threatening the major labels. And I think that's why they would like to see these disappear, because all their major artists won't sell as much music.
So you think this will democratize the system so that the sales are spread out, because there's more music offered?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
And that's already been that approach has already been tried at mp3.com. If you've ever visited that website,
I should probably tell you something. I'm really leaving Billboard to go work for those guys.
Oh, really?
This is my last week here.
Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't want to bias you towards anything. So
oh no,
I'm letting you go, because yeah. this piece I'm writing is for Ring and Magazine. So
yep. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to be biased in any form.
you're already totally biased. So
well,
I'm just going to let you go.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you know, it's not a bad thing to be biased.
Well, it's kind of hard to be right in the middle, because you always have likes and dislikes, of course. But
right.
You know, a lot of things are influence you.
Yeah. Okay. So, I've got a lot of great stuff here for you.
Oh, my notes are exhausted so far. You've covered all my answers to questions that I thought you would pose.
Wow, that's not good. I'm so predictable. what do you say? I guess I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talked to somebody in a major label today.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, why can't you do this? You know, I mean, they're not really hurting anybody.
No, I think it is.
They're not making money, and responsible for what they do.
I think it's like almost pure promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, if their artists are actually good,
yeah,
they're going to get played on these stations. If they're not good, they're going to play someone else.
Yeah.
So, if anything, they're just afraid that they're going to lose their artists, and they're not going to get sales. Not because this is infringing or they're going to lose money because people won't buy their albums.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose money because people are going to buy other albums by other artists. I think that's the underlying thing.
It's interesting. I think that there at least needs to be a hobbyist class of license, you know. I mean, I think, you know, the minimum ASCAP license right now is $250 a year, and that's before you get your call from BMI or CSAC or Security Fox or anyone else. So that needs to come down significantly. And I don't think it would be unfair to ask shoutcasters to pay, you know, a nominal fee every year, just, you know. Just so that there would be some, you know, income. But it has to take into, you know, consideration that, you know, you're not broadcasting to, people in Chicago or something.
That's right. I would agree with that if they were, if people were actually making money off these stations.
Yeah.
And I think in Shoutcast's agreement, if you are making money off of this, you have to pay $299 US, I believe it is.
So maybe it could come out of that.
Yeah. And I mean, if you are making money off it, sure, you should be paying these people back. You're using their music, and yeah, they should be compensated for it. For me, this is a project of love. This is just a hobby for me. I'm fully expecting not to make any money off of it, and I don't want to make any money off of it, because that would I would think bias me towards whoever is giving me money. There is going to be some influence in that, and I've seen the influence in radio stations and television and stuff like that.
Can I ask how old you are?
25.
Have you noticed any it seems to me that most of the shoutcasters I've talked to are all between 16 and 25, usually males.
Yeah.
Have you noticed anything? Because you're obviously in contact with a lot of different DJs.
Oh, many, many, many. Yeah, that does seem to be the age range. I have talked to some older people, right into their mid-30s, and I have talked to a few females, but yeah, that is the majority of the listeners and broadcasters is in that age range, but that's what I find the internet to be, too.
Right.
So I think it would be just a good representation of what the internet is.
Do you mind if I ask what ISP you work for? Or? No,
rather not.
I probably shouldn't take your last name then either.
Really?
Well, do you mind?
Oh, I don't care about my name.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your name?
It's James O'Brien.
Oh, that's right.
O'Brien. Because I say it on the station. And, I mean, if anybody has half a clue, if they know anything about the internet, they can find out where I live and my phone number.
So the internet can...
That's right. Very, very simple. Hey, look under Rant Radio.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that, I did a story for Billboard, you know,
yep.
Started getting into all of the sneaky licensing issues. And, you know, I got to tell you, as the rights organizations are going to shit in their pants because, they're being looked to kind of, you know, lay down the law on the internet.
And, yep.
You know, most rational people understand that there's, you know, this is an occasion where it might be better just to back off, you know, and let the thing thrive.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
But they can't do it because there's so much pressure to police things right now. And,
I know.
It's a mess. And on top of all of this, you know, I mean, because it's being streamed through Rant, you know,
You can record any station you want, and a lot of these stations, actually some of them, broadcast at full CD quality.
Yeah, well,
higher than CD quality, some of them.
I thought some got like 190
kilobits. Yep.
What are you guys at right now?
We make it available for just about anybody to listen. We broadcast at 24 kilobits per second, so even 28.8 modems can listen in. So we want a wide audience. We broadcast in mono to keep it the sound even to keep the quality up as well.
Forgive my ignorance.
Yep.
That's why you have to keep the kilobit. The kilobits can't exceed the modem speed because if they do, it'll be a log jam.
That's right. And you have to even be a little bit lower than that because none of them actually connect at that speed or transmit at that speed. So even like a 28.8, we have to keep it at 24.
Gotcha. That's
right. And there is some buffering that does help, so that if it buffers ahead however many seconds, 10, 15 seconds. So if there is a drop, it will bring it back up to speed if there is a drop.
Okay. So the only people that are really reaping the benefits of these high bandwidth stations are like maybe kids at universities or mm-hmm. people at work that have big connections.
Yeah, those are the people that can use it, but I would imagine that the people at the universities will be cracked down pretty hard, unless they're, like, the person who runs the thing. I mean, if they're doing it out of their dorm room, they're going to see the bandwidth pretty easily. They're going to see it being reduced.
Right.
But if it's through your work, and you actually work there, and you run the place, I mean, you can do whatever you want with your bandwidth.
Right.
And I wouldn't want any of our mirrors to actually... get in trouble for what they're doing.
Yeah.
I want everything to be on the level.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And, maybe we'll talk in the future.
Sure thing. Is there any guarantee that this will make the magazine?
What's that?
Is there any guarantee that this will make the magazine?
I mean,
should I just kept?
I know that the story's going to run, but I haven't started writing it, so it's kind of... kind of hard for me to guarantee what's all going to be included in it at the end
right.
of the day. I talked to you and about four other people.
Right.
Four other shoutcasters, and then I've got, you know, record label people.
Right.
Rob Lord from Soulsoft.
So I'll get a sentence.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a long piece. Isn't
yeah.
It? So I've got plenty of room.
It's a great story, like, right on the forefront.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best opportune time to get it in the magazines before anybody else does, because this is going real huge, real fast.
Yeah, sounds like it. I mean, every time I look, there's more servers. Sometimes there's more servers than there are people listening.
Yeah, that's a sad state. I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
Ever since new technology, MP3 Spy, has come out, which gives a really good list, and it's really simple to switch lists, and it has a built-in chat client, and that's what we use to keep in contact now.
Okay.
We used to go through the IRC, but now we use MP3 Spy. And as soon as that was released, it jumped up 300 listeners.
Oh, wow.
It was just amazing, and now we have our stations full all the time.
Wow. I mean, if it continues to grow like this, we get big numbers by the end of the year.
Oh, huge numbers. There's a huge potential audience of tens of thousands. And it's all distributed bandwidth, so it's not a huge load.
Yeah. Well, excellent. Well, look, keep it up. And I'm actually hoping to start. I want to start a station. But,
mm-hmm. It's all.
I work here, so I'm all the records, all the labels, mailing them. I get all this great music.
Yeah, we're considering that.
Yeah.
Going, okay, we're a station.
Yeah.
Send us your music. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one, whether that's really good to do or not.
Well, again, you might compromise your position because they're going to send it to you, but then you always get the guys making the follow-up calls.
That's right. Did you play it? Yeah. How many times? Is it in rotation? Is it in heavy rotation? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know if I want that.
Not be the can of worms you want
to... Yeah, and if we like the CD, we already own it.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
No problem, and definitely email me if anything comes of this, or if it's published, or what issue it's published in.
Sounds
I mean, I just have to flip through Raygun each month or something.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know if you're in.
Great.
All right.
Well, thanks for the interview.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.